not celebrating your bicycle kick because you're getting slaughtered brings you.
Phoenix City!
Hello and welcome to Phoenix City. I'm Frosty. I'm joined by Ella, Dave and Cam as usual.
Good evening.
Hello.
G'day.
It's good to see you all. I'm kind of padding because we have very little content to do today. So, you know, hey, how's it going? Good.
It's excellent. Thank you, Frosty.
Yeah. We should probably just start with the A-League because it was actually quite an interesting set of results from the Phoenix perspective, even though the Phoenix weren't playing. Should we just start with the derby, Ken?
Sure, yeah. Place. So the game that replaced our game on the Friday night was the Sydney Derby, Sydney 0, Western Sydney 1. They become the first team, I think, to lose twice to Western Sydney this season. The only team they've lost to this season,
should
Sydney
we,
FC.
Should we dig in a little there? Because the Wanderers are actually playing like we thought they were capable of playing and things are rolling their way.
Yeah.
They've looked good, reasonably good all season, just hasn't quite broken. But now the goals are going in and they're not conceding. And I think the not conceding part is quite good for them.
Well, they're certainly giving themselves every opportunity to make the top six now, where it genuinely looked like they were dead and buried not that long ago. They're now well within striking distance and they still theoretically could get top two if results go their way. So they're it's getting quite congested at the table after all the other results over the weekend. So
yeah, certainly is.
Well, in some ways as well, they were kind of lucky in this derby. I mean, they've obviously got the result, but they had only around 30% possession. They had half the number of passes.
They did have almost the same number of shots.
Triple the foul count of Sydney, but yeah, similar numbers of shots. But yeah, a lot of possession for Sydney that they didn't do a hell of a lot with. And obviously West Sydney also ended up with a red card to Georgeski as well. And they still came out 1-0. So
let me see if I can guess what he did. He was a
yes. I mean, he kicked out after he got a pretty bad challenge made on him. It was probably a yellow card challenge on him and he kicks out. He's almost done it in a way to like enough to get away with it as well. He's made it look reasonably natural, but there's definitely emotion that was picked up by VAR that is him lashing out at a player.
The irony of him lashing out after a shitty challenge when he is so fucking capable of it.
Well, it's annoying as well because he's actually quite a good footballer, but he really has had this just kind of streak to his game the last couple of seasons where he whines a lot about things that he would absolutely be doing himself. I find him quite grating these days, which is annoying because he's a good footballer and doesn't really need to bring that to his game.
No, I totally agree. I thought his last couple of seasons he's actually been good, but yeah, he's still an individual.
An odious prick.
Yeah. And obviously, odious pricks. Mitchell Duke got on the score sheet.
He did. He got the goal for Western Sydney. I haven't seen any of the games.
It's a really, really nice header.
Yeah, it was. Good finish.
He has no rights to be scoring that, really, but it kind of just skims over the top of a defender and he kind of nods it perfectly weighted to the other side of the goal and it beats everyone. It's nice. Really nice.
I should actually make it clear, I've only seen three pieces of football this weekend in the A-League.
And one of them was Stensness?
All three were goals. So it's literally it. So
let me guess, Topol, Stanley, Stensness, what was the other one?
Naboo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That was definitely something worth watching.
Yeah.
So we crack on with the next one, eh?
Cool. So it was followed by Newcastle Jets 2, Perth Glory 1. This is a massive, massive result for the Phoenix because it keeps Perth within catching distance of us, tied on the same number of points. Obviously, they've got a better goal difference and they scored more goals than us. But
by 10 or something, they're 15, we're 5?
Prior to this game, I think that was right. I'll have a look at the table after we've done all the games.
But, yeah, cool.
Nikolai Topol Stanley opened the scoring with
if it wasn't for
Stensness, this would be the goal of the round and possibly up there for goal of the season. It was a long, long, long way out. It's gone.
I still think it's better than the Stensness one.
No, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard judge this week, to be honest, on the goal.
He's hit it hard enough. It's still on its way up.
Yeah.
From 27 yards out or something.
It reminded me a lot of the Vince Lear one against the Mariners at Hamilton about three or four seasons ago.
No, I reckon
absolutely outstanding.
I reckon Topol Stanley's got even more on it than that.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
In terms of power, absolutely. I think Leah's one might have been further out when he had that.
Maybe.
But yeah, they're pretty similar goals in terms of that. But yeah, yeah, it's really good.
I certainly like the philosophy of, like, if you hit it hard enough and it goes into Rose's head, you can get back in time to reset. And if it goes in, well, luck. And that's basically what it appeared to
well,
be.
Well, I mean, you've got to give defenders credit for that. When they're aiming for it and it goes in, yeah, it might only happen once every, you know, 40 times, but he was drawing for it and he got it.
Mm. Yep.
So that was levelled by Kilkenny in the 29th minute, and then Roy O'Donovan got the winner in the 74th minute. Next game of the round was Melbourne Victory 2, Adelaide United 1. So their scoring was opened by Adelaide by Opseth in the 7th minute to take a 1-0 lead. It was levelled by Marco Rojas getting his first goal since his return in the 57th minute, and then the winner from Andrew Naboo, which again was an absolute class goal in the 91st minute.
Yeah, just a poacher's goal from Rojas, just to finish it once the keeper's done an absolute job on it. Did you see the interview with
Archie Thompson afterwards?
My God, yeah. What a knob. Well, absolutely.
I didn't
belly.
Need to see an interview to tell you he was a knob.
Oh, no. Because Rojas, he's not wearing his top, but he's wearing the sports tracking thing. And
the
he
bra.
Refers to it as a...
So you guys make does the bra make you play better?
Mm.
And you're just like, well.
Yeah. Does vaccinating your kids make them healthier? I just wish it
arguably
could.
No.
Yeah.
But it makes them less sick.
Yeah, well, I would say
potentially less sick. Potentially less sick.
Yeah.
I'll get your anti-vax head off.
All right, so the next game was Western United.
Did you talk about the other goal?
Did I
on Naboo?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we said it was a beauty.
It was a very nice goal.
We should say that this has actually helped us out again. This is another one of the results that's really helped the Knicks.
Yeah, it has. It was a good one.
Yeah, it's basically mean joint second based on this result.
Not anymore. Western United 6, Central Coast Mariners 2 was the next game. Berisha opened the scoring in the 9th minute, which was levelled by Harold in the 19th. And then 3 first half goals to Max Burgess in the 25th, 30th and 43rd minutes. Saw a 4-2 lead at half time. Then basically from the kickoff in the 45th minute, Gianni Stensis scores a bicycle kick, which was lovely, and I'm quite a fan of that. Next, that made it 4-2. Then Andrew Durante scored what appeared to be another cock volley.
It's an oggy.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, mate.
It's certainly listed as Dura.
It's listed as Dura, but no, yeah. It's an oggy.
Not the prettiest goal, but you know, he does score cock volley, so it's okay. And then Berisha scored in the 89th minute to round out the scoring. 6-2 victory for them. Fairly comprehensive.
Well, let's go to the bike kick. That was it was quite funny because it just looked like no one believed that he was going to go for it because it just lobbed up in the air. And he was lining it up. No one thought, I'll just go in and, you know, stick my head in the way or put a body on him or something. Just gave him a free hit, and then he smacked it quite convincingly.
Yeah. I think the reason I don't think this is, like, I think it's a great goal. Anytime you score a bike is, you know, it's going to be one worth talking about.
Yeah.
But it does sit up just too nicely, and it's not like anyone goes to him. It's not like he's way out from goal or anything, you know. Mm. If someone lobs you a ball like that in training and you manage to connect with it, this is what happens, you know. People just give him the chance at it. It's not like that other highlight that's been going around this week where – the guy volleys it from above his
From the corner.
From the corner. Jesus. You're like, how are you even going for that? You know, it's not like that. This sits up perfectly for the bike and he scores it.
The flat
it's
corner.
Nice, but I don't think it's goal of the season for mine just because of that.
I think it might win goal of the week.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
But you're only winning that because of the kind of someone scored a bicycle kick.
It's a bike.
And it's the same when, you know, Daddy scored one for us.
Yeah.
Not the best bike kick by any measure, but he scored a bike. So, yeah.
It's not got the execution that Bale and Ronaldo have, but it certainly has the effectiveness of this of the same. So,
but the other talking point I want to make about that game is the attendance, 3,600.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
your home game. You're putting 6 goals in and no one's there to see it. It's going to be really struggling. I mean, we've been talking about their crowds and that for a while. This is not helping them at all.
No,
I mean, you've got to give them credit for a fair turnaround from just an absolutely shambolic performance against us to the point where we barely discussed the game last week because it was just such a, it was written down already by the time you're 3 minutes in. But to turn around and score 6 goals, one, that's a good turnaround, but you got to start questioning the Mariners.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this might be more of a reflection on the Mariners than anything. I think when it was that bottom of the table clash against the Jets that didn't end up going their way, the Jets have taken a real bounce from that. The Mariners seems to have taken a real dive.
Mm. Well, to be fair, the Jets have done some very good recruiting, and that's kind of coincided. Get a couple of guys back, Abini coming in, who's the striker that I couldn't remember the name of, but that's a good get for a mid-season recruit. And yeah, the Mariners, that they're almost nailed on for that spoon now, really.
Yep.
Cool. Last game of the round was Melbourne City 1, Brisbane Roar 0. Jamie Young chucked it in for that, which basically...
That's a bit harsh on him. Berlante, again, hits a volley from just outside the top of the box, one popping out from, I think it was a corner again, but certainly a ball had come in and it pops back out. He volleys it into the bottom of the post. It deflects from there into the back of Jamie Young and into the goal.
Yeah, he chucked one in. Yeah. So that, that basically it leaves the table. I'm not sorry, it chucked one in. We're just leaving it there because it's Jamie Young.
Interesting that we have all these good volleys in the same round, you know, because I think if this hadn't gone off the post and keeper, this is another very nice volley, realistically. Yeah. Just in a week of good volleys, it's not really worth talking about.
Yeah. It's a shame, mate.
So looking at the table, basically, Sydney's obviously way out in front, and Melbourne have moved in clear into second on 33 points, but there is a bit of a log jam between Perth and us on 30 points in third, down to eighth with Western Sydney on 24 points. So each of these teams now has a really good shot at the playoffs. So Perth, Western United's on 24, Sydney, Western Sydney's on 24, and they're seventh and eighth. Roar's on 26 on 20, on sixth on 26. Adelaide's fifth on 27, and then us and Perth on 30 points. We're behind them on goal scored and goal difference quite comfortably.
See, the one game that I would have thought that would be more likely for the upset was the Perth City game. Because, Brisbane City game. Because I thought Brisbane had been playing well in the last few. Melbourne City showing a bit of fight. That's good for them, I guess. But I was sure if there was going to be an upset, it was going to be that one.
It was certainly a horrendous game of football.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't. I saw the highlights and it just, the 4 minutes of that was enough to put me off. But those other two games, the City, not City, the Victory game. The Perth game. Sorry, I'm working hard here. Don't help me out. It's fine.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. You've got to get to your point for me to be able to help with it.
Well, yeah. Those
don't know where you're going at all, mate.
Those two upsets, massive for us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at our run-in, it's not too bad. I mean, there's a couple of tough games. Perth away again.
Perth away, we've still got Sydney away. We've got Victory here. We've got Mariners next, so those two are good. We've also got
Wanderers.
We've got Newcastle away as well.
Yeah.
Because we haven't played them away yet.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, Newcastle resurgent, they're playing some good football under the new coach. Mariners, well, I think we're going to batter them this weekend, to be honest. And then I say that and we'll probably lose. But Victory, you know, if the proper Victory turn up, they can easily beat anybody, as shown by the result against Adelaide. And they're still not out of shout for the playoffs, so there's every chance they've got something to play for. So none of these games are going to be a walk in the park.
Mariners.
Okay.
We say this now.
Five of these games I've just mentioned are not going to be a walk in the park.
I look at the way we're playing. Realistically, we've been consistent. We've been good. We're now at the point where we're keeping clean sheets. I think we've got a good chance of really having a decent run in. I get the feeling that the camp is feeling pretty good when you've got one of your overseas pros like Matty Steinman already putting his hand up saying, yeah, I want an extension this early in the season.
Yeah.
That's a really, really good sign for mine. A guy that should be able to walk into any pro league around, he's going, I want in here. Same with Cam Devlin. He's making those noises. He's saying, you know, my girlfriend's got a job here. I'm good. You know, she's settled in. I'm good.
Yeah.
They're really laying the groundwork for contract extensions.
Well, and I think the reality is as well, if this season isn't the time you can have that good run in, you know, everything's going right. There doesn't really seem to be any major obstacles in our way to having a good finish to the season, go into the playoffs with a lot of confidence and probably do quite well there. If you can't do it under these conditions, you probably don't deserve to do it, right?
Yeah.
You know, much as a winning the whole darn thing through, you know, a jammy, you know, Oggy in the final still counts the same. You want to do it properly. And this feels like the season where we're set up well to do that. So we do need to go in and win some of those games, even if they might not be the easiest game. This is the season. Surely we can dig out those results and get the job done.
Yeah, there's 8 games left, right? So 26 game season, we're on, we played 18. 36 points has generally been enough points to get into the playoffs. Probably going to be a bit higher than that this year, looking at how much of a logjam is in there.
Yep.
But with eight games to go, I'd back us to get 10 points out of those eight games, which should be enough.
Well, I think in reality at this point as well,
we're not just aiming
falling
for
out of the six is not really going to happen. Mm. It's we need to go into that final series with some confidence and some good results. I think that's much more important. I think we need to be aiming, you know, second, third. That needs to be where we're finishing. If we just scrape in at sixth again, we will be on that slide like we were last year. You know, some good results early in the season count for nothing if you've got no confidence going into a final series. And we're pretty well placed at the moment to go in on a real high.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the composition of the squad. I mean, normally you'd say with so many young players that, you know, there's the potential for the extra pressure of final series being a little tough on them. But looking at the very experienced players we've got who are now coming into some solid form, Hooper now contributing, Davila was already contributing, Ball very contributing, Steinman, Taylor, all those guys right through the spine should be able to keep the young fellas on track and just there's enough experience and nous to go, hey, come along. This is, you don't get a chance like this, take it.
Yeah, and you're seeing like Ben Wayne's obviously did the presser this week, and he, you know, obviously he's not been playing much, but for him, the experience that he's getting off, you know, people like Ball and Hooper and whatnot, like you can tell he's obviously really growing with that. So if he was to come into the finals series,
he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah, he's got nothing to lose, and you can see that kind of mentality is going to spread throughout the club of, yeah, we can do this. There's no, you know, there's no reason to have any fear or concerns on that front. Just, you know, throughout the pack, it's a positive.
And Ufuk. Experience with juniors as well. I mean, that can only work as a positive. My only concern is the concept of finals football is a bit alien to most of our overseas pros.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's probably similar in a way to the, you know, a cup competition, a knockout cup, but, you know, all on, should be interesting.
To be honest, mate, if you tell them they have to go out and win a game of football, it doesn't really matter what the result is, what the outcome of that result is, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter if it's a knockout game, irrelevant. Just tell them they need to go out and win. And if they go out and win, they're great. Do that in every game, you win the league. Do that, you win the grand final. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that is fair. But I don't know what it is about the mentality. You know, cup games, knockout games are slightly different in your head. That's just the way of it. I think to not acknowledge that would be a bit silly, but, you know, there's enough.
Just go out and win. Just go out and win every game.
Yep, it's that simple game.
That simple, man.
It's that simple.
Yep.
Should we skip along to the W League because it is reaching the nitty gritty now as well?
Yeah, getting down to the
final round.
Yep.
And so, then what is it? A 2 week gap for international break, and then into the semis.
Yeah.
The weird four team semis.
It just mathematically works, and I don't understand why other competitions can't do this. Yeah. No. Yep, four games played this round. The battle for the Wooden Spoon started on Thursday night up in Adelaide, where Adelaide played the Newcastle Jets, and Adelaide won 2-1 with goals to Amber Brooks and Mallory Webber. Tegan Collister got Newcastle Jets' one. So the Jets, unfortunately, now finish bottom of the table and now also hold the record for the most Wooden Spoons in W League history.
Ooh.
They were going into that game on, I think, four each.
Just a question.
Yes.
In the A League, there's a rule that if a club finishes bottom 3 years out of six, they can be kicked out of the league.
To my knowledge, there's no rule like that for the W League, and I think I don't think
legitimately that, yes, that is
it. Yeah, no. I forgot
about
that.
Are you sure that's still a thing, that it exists on the new licenses? I'm not sure it does. I think it historically was a thing.
Yeah.
Surely because the Mariners,
they own part of the league, so it's unlikely they'll ever be kicked out.
No.
And that's a good thing. I'm all for that, but I'll just, you know.
Well,
the Mariners would definitely be three out of the last six.
Well, after this season, yes.
And as Cam's phrased it as well, which I think is correct as how it was, you can be, not you will be.
Yeah,
you can.
Sure.
Yeah, the decision still come down at the time to the FFA, and if they didn't have any appropriate replacements.
When they bought in those new 20-year licenses or whatever they gave to everyone, those sorts of conditions were gone from them.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the interesting thing, though, because with the W League teams for a time, and I think they're all the W League sort of sides of the franchise are owned by the clubs, but previously, like Newcastle Jets were being run by kind of the local football federation as opposed to the Jets.
Okay.
And it was only like a couple of years ago that they sort of took back control of that. I think Capital Football have previously run Canberra. So there's been some, you know, the ownership kind of side of things possibly has made that the application of that rule is not a thing.
So they can't do the same kind of federation rule that we do over here for the women's league, similar to that?
No, I think it'll just be a completely different sort of setup. Then on Saturday afternoon, we had the Big Blue, Melbourne Victory hosting Sydney FC. Victory won 3-1 with goals to Amy Jackson, 2 for Darian Jenkins. And Sydney FC got their consolation goal in the 90th minute from Natalie Tobin. Bit of a worldie from her, just smacks it in, first time outside the area. Ramifications of this for the table is Victory have come in second and Sydney dropped down to third. So that obviously has knock-on effects for the playoffs, which we'll get to soon. Then on Sunday, Perth Glory hosted Western Sydney Wanderers. The Wanderers needing a win to kind of to confirm that they'd be in the finals football, and they got that with a 3-2 win. 2 goals to Christian Hamilton, 1 to Sam Stab, and then for Perth, 1 for Celia Jimenez and Morgan Andrews.
That Wanderers game, yeah. Off the top of my head, they've lost like the last three or
something? They've lost three in their last five, I think.
Yeah. So that's a good turnaround.
It was. I mean, it wasn't the most convincing of performances. Like, it was for them, it was very first half performance from them, and then Perth Glory came back in the second half. For Perth, they kind of had the opposite end of the season. So first half of the season, they weren't doing so well. Second half,
just say it, pants. They were pants.
Yeah, they were poor. They were very poor. But yeah, second half of the season, they've got a much better record than the Wanderers. So it's one of those things where you're looking at the W League, going, well, for slow starters like Perth, an extended season would probably be quite useful. And then last game of the round, Melbourne City beat the Brisbane Roar 3-1. 2 goals to Ali Watt, 1 for Melissa Mijatovic, and Holly Palmer scored the 1 for Brisbane Roar. Interesting stat, Melbourne City came within 2 minutes of their goals not conceded record. They were on 729 minutes. Record was 731, and that was set back in the 2015-2016 season. So their inaugural season where they won every single game.
That is still a pretty good number.
It's not bad, eh? Yeah, they've just been so solid this season.
Well, that is a good set of clean sheets.
Yeah, you'd be happy with that. So that brings us into the semi-finals, which are being played over the weekend of the 14th and the 15th of March. The two Melbourne teams are hosting, having finished first and second. So Melbourne Victory play Sydney FC on the 14th on the Saturday, and then Melbourne City host the Wanderers on the 15th. So obviously they've all kind of played each other fairly recently, with the Melbourne teams coming out on top, so it should be interesting.
Melbourne versus Sydney, both games.
Yeah.
Yeah. You expect the Melbourne teams to come out on top?
Yeah, based on previous form. I mean, like I say, Victory have obviously just beaten Sydney. Mm. City have demolished everyone who's come in front of them so far, so yeah.
A one-sided Melbourne derby as a grand final?
Possibly, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Do you know when they're playing the grand final? When where?
That'll be the weekend after. So I think it depends where, who
top,
would be. Yeah, who
top finished, finisher.
Yeah, but I think it's the 21st of March.
Okay, cool. You'd hope that they actually get a bit of a get the big stadium for that one.
Yeah,
for grand final?
I think sort of whisperings of what I've heard is they're kind of hedging their bets to see who will get it and then try and tag it with a A-League team, possibly as a doubleheader. But obviously that. Because that might be easy for teams.
Yeah, they did that last year too, didn't they?
I think so, yeah.
I remember it was the year before.
Because Sydney played Perth.
The last time Melbourne City held it, it was a curtain raiser to a Phoenix game.
Ah, of course, yes. So that'd be 2017-18, I think.
I remember catching the end of that on the TV before the next game was on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Right, so we have Algarve Cup news. Well, we have our Algarve Cup to look forward to.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, unless that gets COVID-19 out as well.
So there was a whole lot of potential rumours on the Aussie stuff being played in Aussie. Some of the Asian games.
Possibly some qualifiers being played in Aussie. I've not heard.
Okay, but nothing.
But in terms of the Matildas, they've got a home game in Newcastle and then they head off to Vietnam for their other qualifier.
Okay, so there's absolutely nothing in concrete yet.
In terms of the other qualifiers, I don't know, but yeah, the Aussies are pretty locked in.
Okay, so yeah, it sounds like a whole lot up in the air because I mean,
The Olympics could be cancelled.
Yeah,
yeah. It seems at least that they'll put a lot of stuff behind closed doors anyway.
Mm, yeah.
Italian football's doing exactly that. Well, closed door games.
Juventus under 23s have been quarantined for 2 weeks because the team they played had recently had 4 kids diagnosed with coronavirus. So the club has literally quarantined their entire under 23 squad. Yep. That's it. You're not going anywhere. You're home for 2 weeks. I think there's going to be a fair bit of that happening over the next couple of months.
Saudi's basically closed the Hajj, so no pilgrimage at the moment. And this is the time of the year, so.
Well, we talked last week about the Perth Glory game being postponed for the AFC, which it turned out was not actually confirmed at that point, despite Tony P basically saying it was. They got quite quite some stern warnings from the Asian Federation that they would be fined if they didn't play the game, as they were told to, and it seems that sense has prevailed there eventually, but you'd hope a lot of those kind of organising bodies are being more cautious than that about this, but obviously not all of them are. I mean, the Asian Federation were being very harsh on Perth Glory around that. Certainly a lot more stick than carrot, that's for sure.
Well, so when you look at something like the Euros coming up in
all over Europe, June,
it's literally all over. There's 20 host cities. And, you might get luckier like in England and have almost all your games in your country, but there's going to be a lot of fans who are going to be travelling literally from Hungary to Ireland, you know? It's going to be, I mean, they could be anywhere in those groups. So I mean, it just seems
for Asia especially, I mean, two of your hotspots are China and Iran. And you can't really just go, well, you two guys sit it out and we'll carry on. That's just not going to, and obviously Korea has a bit of a problem at the moment as well.
So this makes you wonder about the Algarve Cup, which is how we get into this, is like whether it's actually going to go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's been no talk about there being a problem with the Algarve Cup being played. I think all the teams have arrived, and as far as all our preparations are going, kind of to plan, which is, by the sounds of it, just about the only tournament that isn't being possibly affected by it. Yeah.
What's the schedule?
So they have the first game on Thursday morning at 7 a.m. That's against Belgium, possibly on Sky Sport. I had a quick look early before I left, and it's got live soccer TBC on the thing for that time, which you would assume would be the Ferns game. And then
wait. If it was Channel 57, it's probably European. If it was any other channel, I'd go with the Ferns.
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be like Bundesliga 3 or.
the outcome of that game, they'll either play Portugal or Italy on Sunday, and then the outcome of that game, obviously to be confirmed. Other teams in the tournament are being the Netherlands, Denmark, Portugal, one other that I've forgotten. But looking at the squad, kind of notable absences being Abby Erceg again, Anna Green's Abby Erceg's been out. Personal reasons, I think she's getting her green card. So she can't leave the States.
Yeah,
a bit of a pickle.
Yeah.
Anna Green's had a long-term injury, so not playing from there. But in terms of callbacks, we've had Anna Leitz come back, under-17s goalkeeper.
Yeah.
A couple of new caps. We've got Marissa van der Meer, who is also in the under-17s, that won bronze, and Mickey Robertson.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
She was the one that you played against, wasn't it?
Yeah, a couple of times. Miserable experiences. She's just very fast.
She smoked you really badly, eh?
Yeah, it was painful. but she's so nice that you're kind of like, fine.
She's always like, I like the heart that she has because she's such a diminutive player. Yeah. Obviously, she's got some incredible set of wheels on her because
she is fast.
I've only seen her play at Central League level or W League level. But she was always a step above everybody she was against. So it's good that she's got the opportunity. I'm glad she's got the opportunity. Even if she doesn't get on the pitch, to be there in that environment is awesome.
Yeah, because she was so close to coming in last time, but she unfortunately got injured playing for camp, like literally the night before they were due to meet up, which was, so rough. But, they've obviously had their eye on her for a bit and wanted her to come in, so.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few of those sorts of players that, that unfortunately the league here is not.
She's one of those players that you think if there was a Phoenix team, surely she'd be a shoo-in to be in that environment. And she'd be the kind of player who would really benefit from being in that environment. Mm. And so you've got to hope that, I think she was involved for a bit with the FFDP up in Auckland last year, but then obviously came back to Wellington for family reasons and stuff. But kind of bridging that gap between local league and kind of the next step.
Which is a massive, it's not even one step, it's like two or three. Realistically, until you can get,
And if you were to have that W League team, based not necessarily out of Wellington because it's more likely to be based in Australia, but it will have some ties to Wellington at least. That's a program that would exist in this part of the North Island rather than at the moment all that talent does get dragged with the FFDP up to Auckland and you lose kind of, not necessarily lose, but some of those best players out of the Wellington, W League get dragged to Auckland because of that. And it'd be good to see them able to stay down in Wellington where there is a lot of decent football and it'd be nice to develop more than just one region. So that'd be fantastic.
You got to think that with the W League, it probably won't, even if it expands the number of clubs, it probably won't expand the season particularly, you know, until they kind of get it off the ground, which means massive long off season. You'd assume that they'd all be coming back for that, wouldn't be staying in Sydney. That's just extra expense, which, you know, gives them the opportunity to kind of get in and train and bid in really well, but also be local. That would be a massive.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see what sort of program they put in place around that for the off season, what that looks like.
I'd assume that they'd do, you know, just follow them a lot with what the guys are doing, to be honest. It just would make sense.
When I spoke to Domi last year and saying, you know, how would a W League team work in terms of like the reserve setup and all that kind of thing, you're saying like it'll just mirror the men. So that would be the optimal. Yeah, so you know, ideal case scenario would be you have your reserve team in the NWL, and then kind of going through the winter season, you'd be aligned with a club.
Yeah, but presumably like stuff. A couple of years younger.
Yeah. Yeah, and sort of stagger it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Should we skip along, seeing as we're already on local leagues, to the Handy Prem Camp?
Yeah, cool. So only three games this weekend due to Auckland City's OFC commitments. First game was Hawke's Bay United 3, Southern United 4.
What a banger.
Yeah. Goals for Hawke's Bay United to Ihai Delaney and, sorry, I'm going to struggle to pronounce this name correctly, Shogotu. He got two. And then for Southern, it was Coughlin, Brock and Hewson.
Show go to being a joke in basic. You know, that's okay, fine.
Awesome. That's great. Thanks, Frosty. The next game was Waitakere United 3, Hamilton Wanderers 0. It pretty much seals Waitak in third place, I think. They can still catch T-Dubs, but it seems a bit unlikely because I think T-Dubs have the tiebreak on them. Goals were for Schnell, got two, and Connor McLean got one. And the last game was Team Wellington giving Easts a proper thumping, 4-1, which flatters Easts. Goals, Easts open scoring, Kingsley Sinclair in the 13th minute, which was actually a really lovely header, really perfectly placed into the corner. And then goals to 100th appearance maker Andy Bevan. 100th appearance for Team Wellington. Congratulations, mate. Then Xiao Moira and Rory McEwen got two. Dave, you were there. What do you think?
It was a good game. Yeah.
Moira scoring again. That's a good for a get-in.
He earned it. His initial shot, which was he dived his foot in for to get to the ball, was saved, but it popped up and he was first rebounded side foot into an open net as the keeper was scrambling to get back to him. So it was a nice goal. He looks quality, eh? I haven't seen him play. And to be fair, I never really watch Auckland when we were playing against them because I'm always watching down a lens, but he looks like an absolute quality footballer.
It's the same Shamarura
that used to play for Auckland City, yeah. He's quality, mate. Honestly, he's absolutely phenomenally good talent. Once he's actually clicking with the guys he's playing around, because I think this was his first start and he only played came off the bench, I think, in the previous game. Yeah. Once he's actually played with them a few times, he's going to be a hell of an asset.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I haven't seen him yet, but I saw him when he played for Auckland City. He did all right, and that was a pretty star-studded team back then. So,
So it looks like Auckland are pretty much 3 points clear of T-Dubs. There's three games to play. They're 3 points clear of T-Dubs on 34 points. T-Dubs on 31, who are 7 points clear.
Both of those two are locked in for playoffs.
Yeah, Waitak's in third on 24 points. So they're getting pretty close, but Easts have a game in hand. They're on 14 games played. They're on 19 points. And Tasman's on 14 games with 19 points. And Southern's on 15 games with 19 points and Hamilton's on 15 games with 19 points. So there's those four teams could quite easily, any of them could easily make the playoffs. Easts and Tasman have the advantage with games in hand, but there's no saying that Southern and Hamilton won't do it either. It's really tight.
I mean, you look at the Weenix, they're on 14 points, but they're still at the bottom of the table.
Canterbury's bottom of the table.
Are they? Yeah. The Dragons. Okay, well, I take it back then. Still, you know, the Weenix, this has probably been their most competitive season in quite some time. I don't think they've ever got as many wins.
I don't think so. They've certainly been competitive in every game that I've seen them play. They had the advantage against Team Wellington of being able to bring in some of the pros.
Yeah, that happened twice this season, but didn't actually get them the result either time, did it?
Three times. They've had it three times this season. They've lost both the two games, both the World Classicos, even though they had players down, they lost both of them, which is a great sign for Team Wellington.
Yeah.
And the other time was they played Easts and they were 2-0 up at halftime when they took the pros off and then they drew 2-2.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. They haven't had first team starters, though, have they? They've been
absolutely. Hooper's started. Steinman did. Roofers played for them as well.
Has he?
Yep.
I didn't realize.
There was. They had. I think the game that was played out at Jerry Collins Stadium. I think there was seven. You reckon seven or eight?
Yeah, well, something like that.
Yeah, seven or eight first teamers. Not all starters, by any stretch of the imagination. But you know, Ben Wayne was playing and. Yeah, Steinman was playing, Roofer was playing, so Wilson was playing. So there was a lot of good talent out on that field.
So I'm just trying to catch up with how much time of game time that guys like Ben Wayne and Sutton have actually been getting. Because it feels like Ben Wayne's just disappeared off the map almost.
So he's still on the bench for every single game, but when you're frontline is firing like Hooper, Ball, Davila, and Piscopo,
for sure.
And to a lesser extent Soterio, but still Soterio. They're firing like that. You've also got McCowart ahead of them, and because McCowart can, whilst he can obviously play up front, he can also play wide and can also drop deeper, whereas Ben Wayne is now an out striker. Ben Wayne is, he's a good young talent, but he's about fourth in line at the moment to get on the pitch. And what he offers is also offered by someone like Soterio, who's probably a little bit quicker. And when you bring on Soterio, you're looking at your speed of transition when you're changing the game up. He's got a lot more experience, so I can see why they do that.
It makes perfect sense, but it's just kind of my concern is that, you know, these guys that are between the squads, you know, without the game time to actually get that experience under their belts and put the things into play that they're learning off the field, it's going to be very tough for them to develop. I have the same concern about Savrit Singh playing for Bayern too, because a lot of the time he's getting... We came off the bench, I think, this week. Mm-hmm. You know, that, you know, young kids need to be playing 90 every week, you know, for them to develop. It's tough when they're a development team. You've got to share it around.
Yeah, but there's still things that they, you know, these first team guys that drop down to play for the Weenix, they aren't there to play 90. Most of the time, the management says you can play them for this many
minutes. I know.
There's that kind of stipulation that comes through. And that it's dependent on the player, their workload, where they're back from their injuries, when they last played. All of that comes into it, and they decide, you know, if they're going to go at all and whether they can get 60, 90, whatever, you know. So Ben Wayne is getting plenty of minutes for them. He's playing, which is good because getting those minutes into the legs. I can't see him getting close to getting on the pitch at the moment just because of that for the first.
Yeah.
And it's not a sign against him. It's just purely how well the front line is firing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. There's genuinely, you know, someone in front of him on the bench even. So
yeah, and I think it's just part of that development pathway. Like, in reality, you can't expect when you're signing such young players to be able to give all of them time in the first team consistently. You know, where the first team is having some struggles, there's certainly an option you should be trying. And I think there's been criticism of the Phoenix in the past around some of that. You know, when the team wasn't going well and we had youngsters we weren't giving a shot, that's one thing. But at the moment, they are firing. It's not like you need to change something up or do anything. So it's just one of those things. You know, a guy like Wayne, you definitely know has got a future, ideally with, you know, the Phoenix. But that doesn't mean he's got to be playing significant minutes for the first team this year.
No. You know? No, but I kind of also see, you know, you got a question how long he's going to sit on the bench if he's not getting minutes, you know, if he's not getting any minutes.
Yeah.
You know, at least with, you know, if he was getting on for five or 10 every game, you kind of didn't a little bit of a taste. But unfortunately, you know, Soterio's sitting there. So
he has made like three appearances and scored a goal this season. So he has got on the bench.
Oh, very early days.
The last time he's played really recently, January was the last time actually. January was the last time he played because there was five under 21s on the field at the end of the game when we scored the winner.
Still 6 weeks ago though.
Yeah, it is, exactly. But he's still involved every game. He's in the squad every game. He's going through every part, all of those motions every single game to, you know, he's fulfilling the role of a proper pro.
Yeah.
In the end, the job of a pro footballer is training. That is your day-to-day job. That's what you do every single day, and that's where you give your all to prove that you should be a pro footballer. It's the bonus is when you get selected to play on the weekends.
Yeah. Fair enough. I guess there's not really much to talk about. There is the Olympics qualifying coming up.
You haven't suggested that we talk about the Knicks' game this weekend?
Well, we could talk about that sort of thing.
We probably should. That's why we're here.
Should we talk about the whole next round?
Oh, if you like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we kind of talk about the Phoenix. I don't think anyone here expects anything other than a pretty comfortable result for us, right? I mean, the Mariners have been playing poorly. We're looking good.
Yeah.
Hopefully a week off hasn't done us any harm. Sometimes that week off can be
a bit disruptive.
Yeah, disruptive and lead to some problems. And we are a club who love to, find a banana skin. But I just don't see that happening this time around. Everything feels different.
At worst, I see this as blowing out some cobwebs. Yep. At worst. Otherwise, I could see it being another 8-2.
Yeah, and so it'd be nice to see us really, go out there, score some goals and do it convincing. But I think even if we aren't at our peak and it is blowing out some cobwebs, I still think we win this fairly comfortably.
Mm. But it's a question whether it's that comfortable win that we had against Western United that's 2-0 or whether it's, 6-0.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I think it's going to be something like a 4-1. I think we're just going to smash them, play them off the park.
It'd be nice to not see that one there, right? Like to keep a good clean sheet against a side that probably shouldn't be scoring against us.
It's why I'm putting the one there,
just
because of how it's gone. And that's not a statement on the way Marinovic has been playing or even, to be fair, how our defence has been going. Because I actually think they were doing all right. We just seem to have the one in us every single game, pretty close to.
Of late, not too much. I mean, I thought that we've basically been getting that down.
Last two games have been clean sheets. That's a fair call. But prior to that, we shipped 4 against Perth. So,
I see that as an aberration, though. I don't see that as being, typical of this unit.
Yeah, I can't see it being anything other than a solid Phoenix victory.
So why don't you, we'll go through the rest of the rounds, eh?
Yeah, cool. So it opens on Friday night with Brisbane Roar hosting Western Sydney Wanderers. That's quite a late one, 10:30 our time. So it's very late.
That could be
late.
Pretty decisive.
Yeah.
Considering where they are.
I think that might be a daylight savings issue. Brisbane Roar playing on a Friday night at 7:30 their time. Are they 3 hours behind us?
Yeah, Brisbane typically. Yeah.
Going to do daylight savings.
Do daylight savings.
They don't.
No, Queensland don't.
That's why it's a 10:30 kickoff. It's quite late. Saturday is Adelaide hosting Western United at 7 p.m., followed by the Big Blue at 9:30 p.m. Sunday, Mariners host us, and the game of the round, Perth versus Melbourne City. It's at 8 p.m. on Sunday night, our time. I would usually, any other year, you'd say the Big Blue is the game of the round, wouldn't you? But this year, not even going to bother. It's definitely Perth, Melbourne City, and I'm going to watch that game. That's going to be a cracker.
Yeah, that should be very interesting. But I do think the Adelaide Western United has interest just because this is kind of Western United's last go at keeping into the six.
I disagree. Now that they're on 24 points, I think they are going to be there or thereabouts for they're probably another 3 or 4 weeks before we get to that point. Because sixth place is on 26 points, right? And they're on 24.
But they can't afford to lose touch.
That victory against Marin is exactly what they needed.
But they need to be picking up the points against teams like Adelaide.
Yep. That's why it's quite an interesting game. It's a big one for us too. I think a draw would probably be ideal for us in that game because it keeps Adelaide behind us, puts them ahead on games played, keeps Western United out of the six, and perhaps if Brisbane win, that keeps them out of touch as well.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a draw on that one.
Sorry, who are Brisbane playing?
Brisbane have Wanderers. I think realistically, our game's the only one that's not that interesting.
Yeah,
I think the rest of the games have a bit in them. I think Adelaide, Western United, both teams really need points out of that. So a draw, I don't think either of them will be too gutted with, and it's probably good for us as well.
Great for us.
But, they both need to stay in touch. Victory Sydney, I mean, Big Blues are always interesting. Victory are on a bit of a bounce. Sydney coming off a loss, it could be interesting. I think you can never count Victory out of it. I mean, they do have the players. They just haven't been firing. Mm. Maybe they get up for that. But for Sydney, it doesn't matter. There's no pressure on them for it. But they certainly like beating Victory. And, when they're not doing that well, fair enough.
When are the next ACL games? Just
around when our transfer game is. So I think it's possibly the week after. We're at the 18th. We're playing them, so it might be the week after that.
Okay.
And then the other game being Perth Melbourne City. That's interesting as well. Whereas our one largely doesn't matter.
No.
Yeah, I think all of four other games are pretty interesting.
And still, probably the only one I'm going to get to see all weekend is going to be our one.
Yeah, but that should at least be of interest to a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
So shall we wrap it up there and nothing further to because we just don't know about this.
We talked about Redempton a lot last week. It would only be reasonable for us to address our yarn on that.
Well, he's still, obviously he's still training with them.
Well, yeah.
He can't play for them.
So it's an interesting one. There must be something going on there that I haven't seen any kind of public confirmation of like any of it.
He's got an Australian grandmother or something.
They posted, I believe it was an Instagram post, talking about our training today, and he's in the background.
It was Ledley, the new signing, clearly
training in the background. There's no mistaking him. And someone asked, what is this? Is this actually today? Like, is he still with the club? And then simultaneously, everything from the website, the press release, all of that was deleted.
Yeah.
And no one's really talking about it. So it's an interesting one.
I wonder if maybe his agent's gone, well, there's no way we're getting another gig. He needs to be training somewhere. Maybe they just go, well,
he didn't agree with the payout they offered him.
Yeah.
Because they have to pay him out.
He can't mutually terminate without the mutual part.
No thanks, I'll stay here and train because I've got my contract.
No, but he's still, isn't he still contracted? The contract is basically he's one of the visa players. I don't think they can sign Joe Ledley.
This would be the interesting part. They can't sign in another visa player unless something else has happened there. So I don't know. It's a very interesting one.
So basically, we'll keep paying you. You can keep training, but you're not part of the squad.
Well, his contract probably says he is part of the squad. So it'll be interesting to see how that. There's obviously your contract with a club, and then registration with the FFA for the competition or the independent league these days is obviously a separate issue.
Yeah.
So who knows? It's pretty interesting, but I certainly built it when we talked about it earlier this week as him ending up at the most unlikely club of all. Because, I mean, you know, you've just been released. Probably the last place you expect to be, you know, signed and playing and training is the same club that just released you. But here we are. That's exactly what seems to have happened to him. I hope he's not just in limbo there and just training with them
for doing a roofer.
Lack of doing anything else. I mean, roofer at least was still technically part of the squad. He could have got away with playing. He just knew the manager didn't like him. This is a scenario where you're technically outside of the squad in theory, or one of these imports is not an import somehow, which.
That is possible. And he may be that one.
Could be.
Yeah. Australian grandmother theory.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Or it could be someone else with, a passport or, something that no one's really, or someone's about to tick over to be able to be local and, something like that. But something weird's definitely happened there. And I don't think we've heard the full story on it yet.
Yeah, it seems strange that they wouldn't at least be a little transparent about it. Go, oh, we found out there's a way we can keep him. Yep. And everyone just goes, oh, cool.
Yep. Yep. Which makes me think they haven't necessarily found that way yet.
Yeah, they're just.
My guess would be him and his agent and whoever have said, well, no, we didn't agree to that. So that hasn't happened. Please delete that press release.
His agent's his dad, isn't it?
Might be. It was at one point for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going, it's probably Rallis.
So it'll be interesting to see
if it's been turned around like that. It does smell of Rallis.
But you'd think, unless there's a chance he really can be kept in that squad, surely you'd go somewhere else, get some football. We know he'd be able to pick up something in the Premier Leagues or even back here in the handy Premier, you'd think.
Yeah, true.
At least play some football.
Yeah, the NPL, surely he'd be able to get a kick.
You'd think so, right? Like, obviously, it'd be disappointing, but at the very least, rather than just training and doing nothing and being out in the cold at a club, surely you'd better be playing 90 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, as you say, he's got to agree to that mutual termination.
Well, this is what makes me think there must be something else going on there that him and whoever he's working with think there's a genuine chance he actually stays.
Mm. Yeah, I can't see that, but because there's no way there's no way they're not finding a way to put Ledley on the park.
Mm. Well, and if it is Redenton who doesn't need to be an import, why has he been an import this whole time? That's
another brilliant question, yeah. Gavin.
which makes me think it's not him; it's someone else.
Yeah.
Because if Kiwis, it's pretty easy to go. Any chance is an Aussie,
in the
family somewhere. That'd be one of the first things you'd check. Whereas you're bringing over, someone from the UK or something, much less likely that's going to be a goer.
Yeah, that's fair. That's probably it, though. Now that we've given Redenton his fair shake.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. Good night.
Bye.
Purple Rain brings you.
I recorded it last week. It was in there.
Nice. Two Star Forest brings you.
Only club in history to hold more European titles than domestic leagues.
best Knicks results when we aren't even on the park bring you.
COVID-19 brings you.
COVID-19 stops you.
Bye weeks on non-bye weeks brings you.
Bye week brings you.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's not even the bye week.
Yeah.
Thunder Bastard Round brings you.
Sydney Derbies bring more money brings you.
Giving 3 Patreons out in 1 week when we could have been banking them and just doing them when we did shitty episodes like this one brings
you. That was
you.
The fucking worst.
The worst outcome.
I wasn't even trying.
Yeah, it was fucking obvious.
I mean, I'm glad.
Yeah, because if you were.
Just a couple notes.
Yeah, I've got some constructive criticism here for you, bro. Yeah.